Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
Today, I just want you to know, like, it was worth you getting up. It was worth you coming to church. It was worth you taking a shower. You needed to do that anyway, but it was worth, because I believe God wants to speak to you today. And back home, I want you to go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Back home, I've been stuck in this passage since August. And it's a picture that David shows us of what the mature Christian life is supposed to look like. And the reason that I've been stuck here is because God's been showing me and telling me that there are too many people that are not reaching purpose because they feel like they're under something. Like they feel like they're under pressure. They feel like they're undervalued. They feel like they're underfunded. They feel like they're underpaid. She's like, oh my God, that's me, Pastor. But I've started to study the life cycle of plants. And back home, we did a series a while back called Planted, Not Buried. And oh, some of y'all heard that? Okay. Well, I got some new revelation with that thing, and I thought I would just throw it out here today, because I believe that there's some people in this room that need to know that what God wants to do in your life is not predicated on what you're feeling under right now. Like he wants to supersede your situation. Like he wants to go past what you feel right now. And so I started looking at this verse, and David so beautifully paints this picture. And I want us to look at what a mature Christian life is supposed to look like when we walk with God. Let me just give you this side note. Where you started with God is not where you're supposed to be with him 7 years from now. And most people, they've stopped doing this cuss word. Say it with me, growing. And I know with your flaws and your issues right now and all that other stuff, I'm thankful for the grace of God, because we don't serve a God who requires perfection. But we do serve a God that wants progression. And so this is that picture of what God wants for your life. Look at it. It says, they will be like trees planted. Everybody say planted.
Yes.
Say it with your chest. Say planted.
Yes.
They will be like trees planted along riverbanks. The interesting thing about this is that trees that are planted along riverbanks, they do not have to depend on the elements of like rain to be able to get nutrients. They're so close to living water that they're able to draw everything they need to continue to still grow. What God is trying to say is, when you're planted in me, I want you to know that I will supply you as you stay in your word, as you stay in community, as you stay in prayer. I will supply you, and it doesn't matter what happens in society. It doesn't matter what happens in the financial realm. It does not matter what happens in Miami. As long as you are close to me, you'll have everything you need to grow. And this is what God wants for your life. Somebody say my life. Okay. And it says they'll be like trees planted by rivers of living water, bearing fruit in each season. The funny thing about this is no tree bears fruit in every season. But God says, if you stay in me, planted close to me, I want you to bear fruit in every season. Winter fruit, summer fruit, spring fruit, fall fruit, lay me off my job, fruit. Leave me, fruit, I was better without you. See, we don't serve a God who is relegated to a season. We serve a God who's eternal. And he wants you to be able to produce fruit in every single season. But that only stems when you are planted. Everybody say planted.
Planted.
Along riverbanks, bearing fruit in every season. And I like this part. It says their leaves never wither. Now, back home in Oklahoma, this may not happen here because y'all got palm trees and everything's cute and pretty. But back home, the trees in Tulsa are withering up and dying. And it's a process that happens every fall. It's because the bark of the tree begins to hold its resources in and stop supplying them to the branches, which then give nutrients to the tree, to the leaves. And so the leaves turn colors and they fall off and die. What God is saying is that he wants your life planted next to him to be so fruitful that you never have to hold anything back. that you can keep supplying, you can keep giving, you can go this Saturday and give to people that are in need, you can help serve, you can forgive people, because your supply is not having to be held with you. It will always be supplied by God. And this is my favorite part of it. And then it says, and they prosper in all they do. What happens with that when God co-signs everything that you say that aligns with his will? So this is what I read and was like, sign me up, God. I want to be an oak tree for you, Lord. I want to be a tall tree that's planted. And this is what I figured out, that God never plants trees. He only plants seeds. So if the end goal for every person in this room is that your Christian life would be like a tree planted next to living water, bearing fruit in every season, leaves never withering and prospering all you do, you will not start out as a tree. And this is where most of us get disappointed, is because I served for 6 weeks. I gave that one time in the last offering, And I know in our microwave generation, we don't like this, but it's seed time harvest. And the thing that I'm coming to come against today is that a lot of people feel like because they're under in a certain situation that it may be over. They feel like the same place that God has planted the seed, maybe they're buried. Let me help you, because a planting and a burial seem the same for a season. If I wanted to bury a coffin, how would I do it? I would dig up some dirt. I would put the coffin in there. I would put it under something and it would be buried. If I wanted to plant something, how would I do it? I would dig up some dirt, put the seed there, put it under something and it would be planted. The enemy has tried to convince you that where God has you planted, or the place that God has you planted, that you should be buried. But I came all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma to tell you to stop having funerals for things that are not dead yet. God has planted you. The marriage will live. The family will live. The book will be written. The music will come forth. Somebody shout, I'm planted, not buried. Ooh, this is about to be good. And this is the problem with so many of us, is because we're under something, we feel like we're buried. But a seed has to be under to bring forth the fruit that God wants it to be in. And so may I suggest to you, you're undervalued on purpose. You're underpaid right now on purpose. You're under pressure right now on purpose, because a seed can never grow if it doesn't go under. And this may not be for all the bougie people in the back, but somebody in here needs to know that under does not mean over. And so as I started to look at this, it can be kind of frustrating when you're following God and he intentionally has you under. Like, you're still at that job where they don't even see your value, and you're frustrated because, God, I know I'm more than this, and you've placed something on the inside of me. And what we try to do is then become potted plants. We would rather uproot and shine in a small space than stay where God has us, even if everybody doesn't see what he's doing. See, the thing that God's trying to do is give you roots. Everybody say roots. If we're going to stand firm, which is the theme for this next year, if we're gonna stand firm, you cannot stand firm if you don't have deep roots. And what God's trying to do under right now is build stuff that people will not see. You cannot Instagram integrity. I'm out here not doing it, staying pure. You can't Facebook faithfulness. Those are the things that God is building. Everybody say, under. And so the goal for us is to stay planted where God has us, so that we can become who he's called us to be. And it's hard. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like it's not hard. I'm not going to sit up here and act like, you know, this is difficult to just stay here, God. I know you place more in me. I know there's more in the future. But why am I here? He said, because what I'm building in you has to be able to last. And so I have to go deep before I go high. And people can't applaud for things they can't see. And in our like and selfie generation, we want everybody to validate the process. But God said, what I'm doing, you're going to have to move all your validation meters to the inside. And when nobody sees, you need to know I'm pleased. And so today I want to even go deeper because there's some people that are in here. And the title of today's message is Planted and Undervalued. Because there are people in here that you're doing the best you can. Like you're planted, like you're trying to do more in God, and you joined a serve team and you gave, and you're trying not to cuss everybody out. You just, you know, just one or two people a week. Like you girl in the back is like, that is me. That is me. Okay. But what happens when you're in a situation and you know nobody sees your value? What usually happens is people stop giving their best because people don't see the best in them. And there are many of you that are working jobs right now that you're not giving your best because you feel undervalued. You may feel undervalued as a mother. You may feel undervalued as a child. You may feel undervalued as an employee. You may feel undervalued as a server here at VU. You may feel undervalued, but I'm coming to help you know that your value does not come from what you do. Your value comes from whose you are. And too many of us have let something that didn't create us place a value on us. But the only person who can put and set a value is the creator of a thing. And so I want to help you by looking at the life of a young lady in Genesis chapter 29, verse 16. And I got to warn you, today's text is a classic Jerry Springer episode, okay? There's kissing cousins, there's baby mamas, there's pimp daddies, there's lies. It's all of that. And I don't know, y'all may be too saved to watch Jerry Springer here in Miami, but when I've watched it, there's always a guy in the middle that's like, I don't even know, Jerry. I don't know why they fighting. I love both of them. Like, and that person in this story is Jacob, okay? And I want you to see this. Genesis chapter 29, 16. It says, now Laban had two daughters. The older daughter's name was Leah. What was the older daughter's name?
Leah.
Okay. And the younger one was Rachel. What was the younger one's name?
Rachel.
Need us to know our characters. There was no sparkle in Leah's eye, AKA she had a great personality, AKA she was ugly. Don't let nobody introduce you and say she ain't got no sparkle. Punch them, okay? Okay. But Rachel had a beautiful figure, pow, 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 and a lovely face. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, man, I will work for you for 7 years if you'll give me your, she fine, if you give me your daughter as my wife. He said, agreed, I'd rather give her to you than anyone else. Stay and work with me. So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, okay? That's how much he valued her. Let's keep going. His love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. What kind of woman was this? Finally, the time came for him to marry her. I have fulfilled my commitment. Now give me my wife so I can sleep with her. Hallelujah. So Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood and prepared a wedding feast. But that night, was it day? No, it was night. When it was dark, Laban took Leah to Jacob, and he slept with her. Verse 25, but when Jacob woke up in the morning, it was Leah. What have you done to me? I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me? Pimp Daddy Laban. Hold on, baby. It's not our custom here to marry off the younger daughter ahead of the firstborn. But wait until the bridal week is over, then we'll give you Rachel two for the price of one, baby. This is just how the Bible is in my head. It says, so Jacob agreed to work 7 more years. She said, where's Jacob? But that is a note to ladies. He was going to work 14 years for her, and oh boy, won't even buy your meal. You can be mad at me. I got mines anyway. There's something different at the 12:15. I feel this. Okay. So this is what he said. He worked 7 more years, and he gave him. They gave him Rachel, verse 30. It says, so Jacob slept with Rachel too, and he loved her. Check this out. He loved Rachel much more than Leah. Or you could say he valued Rachel more than Leah. Or you could say that Leah was undervalued. What happens when you work a job and you know they don't want you there? What happens when you give everything that you have and nobody sees what you do? What happens? How must it have made Leah feel to wake up every morning and hear, good morning, honey, and know they were never talking about her? There are many people in situations, and I know we won't admit it because our insecurities have built a wall around us to make everybody feel like we're doing good. But if you go to the core of who you are, many of the things that you do are coming from an undervalued position, and you're doing it because people said you couldn't, not because you even want to. You are working from a place of dysfunction, and what God is saying is that I want to move all your value back to center so that you will do things because I've called you to them, not because others may give you an applause for them. And this is how God sees us, like he saw Leah. Look at verse 31. It says, when the Lord saw, who saw it? When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he enabled her to have children, but Rachel did not conceive. This is the funniest thing, because most of the time, all of the things that Jacob was looking at on the outward did not have anything to do with the most valuable thing you could have back in this time, which was having children. And God saw that she was unloved or undervalued. And she said, the one that is not the prettiest, the one who was looked over, the one who is the underdog, I'm gonna enable them to produce, and not just a child, but back then the son was the greatest thing you could do, because through the son, the family lineage could keep going. And he said, I'm gonna allow her to produce in a situation that's not even set up for her to win. And I want you to see this. Point number one, when you're planted and undervalued, don't allow the pain to prevent you from producing. See, many of you are in situations where you're not going forward because you don't have a group of people behind you. You don't have the networking you need. Nobody called you and said, I want to mentor you. And we stop because we don't feel like anybody else sees our value. But what God said to this woman, like I'm saying to you, is that God, in this season of your life, is about to give you the grace to grow, even though you're the underdog, even though you didn't finish school, even though nobody saw your ability, God says, I'll enable you to grow, even though. But the problem is, when God blesses us, if we are not functional and healthy in our spirit, we will name our blessing after our pain. And this is what Leah does. God gives her the ability to produce, but look what happens. So Leah became pregnant in verse 31 and gave birth to a son. And in my head, she got a ghetto friend that's just supportive to her. She's like, oh my God, girl, you having a baby. Like, oh my God, what you gonna name it? Richie, Ricardo? No, Reuben. Okay, that's ugly, but anyway, what do that mean? And then she was like, the Lord has noticed my misery. And now my husband will love me. I want you to see, God allowed her to produce. It was a blessing. Even if it wasn't the one she wanted, it was a blessing, but she tied it to her pain. And how many of us are walking into blessings that God has given us, but we have connected to our pain, and we just feel like if we produce more, maybe people who didn't even call us in the first place would like us more, would love us more. Maybe if I produce, then I'll be good enough to be in with the in crowd. If you don't want me, you don't need me. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's called me. But please don't judge Leah, because we do the same thing all the time. God blesses us, but we connected to what didn't happen. And so let's give her a pass. You did it one time. But God's so good, and this is a picture of his grace, that he'll bless us even when we don't appreciate it. How many people are a product of God's grace? Like, you know, you've received some stuff that you didn't even deserve. Okay. And so what happens is she becomes pregnant a second time, verse 33. Soon she became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. Oh my God, girl, you having another boy? What you gonna name this one, Sean? No, Simeon. I like Sean. Okay, girl, what do that mean? The Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son. Girl, you need counseling. But for a second time, God allowed her to produce in a situation that she was undervalued in, but she couldn't praise for it. She connected it to her pain. And not just a second time, but a third time. Then she became pregnant a third time. God blessed her again. God saw past her faults and met her need again. God allowed her to get accepted into the college even though she didn't have the money. God allowed, like, he did it again. But because she didn't know who her value came from, she was trying to produce to be worth it to somebody who didn't choose her in the first place. And how many of us are doing things? Some of y'all beat your face this morning and your makeup is popping right now, but you didn't do it for you. You did it for somebody that you thought may think you're better if you looked better. And all I'm saying is, if your value is tied to the validation of somebody who didn't create you, you're in trouble. I need somebody to know that I was called by God. That I will be and I am everything he's called me to be. With or without your like, with or without your cosign, God called me. And for a third time, she became pregnant. Oh girl, oh my God, you a boy factory. You gonna have a basketball team. What you gonna name this one? Levi. Okay, I kinda like Levi, that's cute. You can like LJ, make it like something cute. What do that mean? Surely this time, my husband will feel affection for me since I have given him three sons. And that's the crazy thing. Point number two, when you're planted and undervalued, produce on purpose, but not for approval. Many of you, all your high performance, all your killing it and grinding and crushing it, you're not doing that from a place that's rooted in purpose. You're doing that for somebody's approval. And what happens is this woman spends so much time of her life trying to approve, to get approved by what she produced. And she attached her value to the validation of somebody who didn't create her. And my question is to you, what is it in your life that you're doing right now to prove to somebody you're worth it? What are you doing right now to let somebody know? Like you're not even doing this for God. You're doing it so somebody else can think you're okay. And this is the thing I need you to understand right now. When you begin to produce for approval, you get your eyes focused off of the one whose approval you actually need. I'm living for a well done from one, and that's the one who created me. And this is the sad thing. She thought if she produced more, she was worth more. And I know even my fellas in here, because you grinding and hustling and killing it. But if you're honest, a lot of the things that you're doing come from an insecurity of being irrelevant and undervalued. And some of us in this room are working and killing ourselves, trying to prove ourselves to somebody who's not even alive. To a father or a grandparent that's not even here. The problem with this is that you have to know your identity in Christ. Look what Colossians 3:23 says. It says, no matter what you do, you need to work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord. No more performance for people. No more doing what God's called me to do or what he's trusted me to do for the approval of anybody else. Let me be honest with you. I live a very hot life, humble, open, and transparent. So sometimes my wife get on my last nerve. And then she'll say something like this, you need to take out the trash. And I'll be like, I don't want to take out the trash. And I'll be walking away and the Holy Spirit said, who are you doing this for? Her? Or do you do everything you do as unto me? So I go pick up the trash. But while I'm taking that out under my breath, I say, this ain't even for you. And this is the attitude you need to know, because some of you are going back to a job tomorrow where you're undervalued at that job. And you've not been doing your best because they haven't valued you. But now you're going to go back and you're going to do the best job. You're going to give everything you got and you're going to be saying, this ain't even for you. Everything I do as unto the Lord. Somebody needs to give God a shout of praise in this place. No more performing for this. No more performing for likes. I'm doing this because God's called me to it. Ha! That's why you have to know who you are in Christ. And many people need to wake up every morning and look in the mirror before you start dolling up and putting on your clothes and all that other stuff. And you need to look yourself and tell yourself who you are. Somebody say, I am. See, the problem is many people have allowed other people to tell you who you are, so you can't even say who you are to yourself. But the only place you can find out who you are is in the Word of God. That's where our identity comes from. That's where our Creator put in the manual who we were. And that's why the enemy tries to keep you out of it. I don't know if it's just me, but do y'all get sleepy when you start reading the Bible? Just the spirit of slumber comes all over you, just like... I just took a nap. And that's the enemy trying to keep you out of the thing that will build you up so that you don't accept any counterfeit. The problem is because you don't know your value, you're walking around with a clearance tag on. And that's why you think that it's okay for anybody to sleep with you. You don't understand how much you cost. That's why you allow your integrity to come down to get a business deal done, because you don't understand how valuable you are. But my God paid the ultimate price on a cross 2,018 years ago so that you could walk in victory and be able to say, no, that's under me right now. I am valued by God. Somebody shout at me, I am. Come on, you need to understand this. I am God's child according to John 1:12. I am chosen by God according to Ephesians 1:3. I am complete in Christ according to Colossians 2:9. Somebody shout at me, I am. I am secure and I am free from condemnation according to Romans 8:1. I am established in Christ and everything I do is going to work according to 2 Corinthians. Somebody say, I am. I am significant, and somebody say, I am valued. If you don't know that you're valued, you will allow people to use you for cheap when God calls you a masterpiece. And the saddest thing about this story about Leah is, yeah, she was undervalued by her father, who didn't even present her in the daylight. He presented her at night. And that's how some of you guys feel. Like, people won't even back me publicly. They'll just call me booty call. I'll see how quiet it got. It was sad that that happened. But then the second thing that happened is she was undervalued by her husband. The man who paid 14 years of his life for her sister and nothing for her. But the saddest thing of this whole story is that she undervalued herself. And I don't know if you're in here and you've been settling for less and you've been undervaluing what God has placed on the inside of you. And you've been producing for the approval of people. But today we are unhooking our value from the validation of others. And what we do in this next season will be because God called us to it, not because they're going to clap for it. And the crazy thing about this is, as I look at her life and I look at what she's gone through and I look at the pain that she went through, something happened to her between her third child and her fourth child. Like I don't know if she joined a VU crew and like... and got some people around her that were accountable and started building her faith up. And I don't know if she watched Planet Not Buried on YouTube. I don't know what happened. But something shifted between her third and fourth child. Let me prove it to you. She named her first kid Reuben. The Lord has noticed my misery. And now my husband will love me. Simeon. The Lord has heard that I'm unloved and has given me another son. Levi. Surely this time my husband will feel affection for me since I have given him three sons. Everything she produced was connected to pain. But something changed. Verse 35. Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. Oh, great. You pregnant again. Let me guess, a boy. What are you going to name it this time? Let me guess, Laquandre. I hate my life and God stop having kids. And she said, you know, I would have named it that in a different season. But this time, the Bible actually says now. Everybody say now. That means no matter what you've been through up until this point, now is a demarcation line that something is changing right here. Somebody shout at me now. She said, I'ma name this boy Judah. And if you know anything about names, Judah means praise. She says, because now I will praise the Lord. She took a situation that was painful and she decided, I'm not connecting my value to somebody's validation, but instead I'm gonna turn my pain into praise. I dare somebody at VU Church on Sunday afternoon to take every situation that you've been in where you felt under and say, God, I'm not living here. I'm going to turn my pain into praise. You got 5 seconds. Lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Your value is coming back. You're chosen by God. He has a plan for you. Stay standing right here. Look what happened. I think she might have got a whiff in the spirit of what David said in Psalms 34. She said, yeah, I don't care if I'm in an undervalued situation. I will bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make a boast in the Lord. And the humble will hear it and be blessed. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I came specifically to talk to people who've been in undervalued situations that have been producing for the approval of people, that today we're unhooking our value. It's so funny. Even when we meet people, what do we ask them? What's the first question? What do you do? Like somehow our activity, what we do, and our identity, who we are synonymous. Not another day. If I never produce another good sermon, I'm still called by God. No, you don't hear. You thought this message was for you. This message is for me. As I took over a church and thousands of people were coming and people were giving a lot of money, and I had a 6-month high quality education at Tulsa Community College. I mean, supreme. And the enemy tried to come at me every day and tell me I was not just undervalued, but underqualified. And then what he did was the very people that said, we're with you, they left in the first 3 months. Maybe you're buried, Michael. But something rose up on the inside of me and said, no, I'm planted. That what God's doing on the inside of me is not based on who claps right now. What God's doing on the inside of me is based on what he called me to. And today, I will be valued by God. I am who he says I am. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who he says I am. Last thing I got to tell you, that remember in the beginning I said that the only person that can set a value for something is the creator. Okay? So let me say it like this. Thank you, Lord. Value is set by how much somebody's willing to pay for it. And God thought you were so valuable that he paid the ultimate price for you. Prove it to you. Romans 8:32. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Today, I want you to know, if you're planted and you're feeling undervalued, that God is for you. And this next season, you're going to produce, you're going to grow even though. But it won't be for the approval of some. It will be for the approval of one. If that's you, lift your hands in this building. Father, I thank you that you're moving us into a new level of knowing our identity in you. We are not forsaken, but we have been chosen, and today we stand firm. We believe that our calling was worth dying for, and we honor you, we lift you up, we believe in you, and we thank you that you're not against us. Come on, let's worship God in this place. Lift it up, just say.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.